April, but hey, I'm here. So the way things conspire against one. Better late than never. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus has recorded in Mark. Sorry, I added another reading in there. That's why it wasn't up. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. We are going to look mainly at the Colossians reading, but I have Mark as a supporting reading. So Jesus, as Mark recorded him, and his words that God's kingdom is near, and it demands a response. Now, this is basically what I'm going to talk about today, is a variation of what I did on my first Sunday at All Saints back in February. And I was drawn to preaching from that Colossians passage. And I'll tell you why. I don't know how much you gleaned about the interview process that myself and the other candidates had to go through in applying for the job here. But the patron, who's Church Pastoral Aid Society, one of their things is to ask us to prepare a short talk on a subject or passage of our choosing. And I felt drawn to speak at my interview from those verses in Colossians. And the reason is this: it speaks powerfully to the Christian of one of the most important things you can do. Pray. Pray. Yes, there are many other passages that tell us things that we need to know about and that we need to put into practice, things like justice and compassion and care for those in need, you know, the love of God in action, things like that. Very important. And of course, the Epistle of James tells us that faith without deeds is dead. So those things are important. But this short piece from Colossians exhorts us all to be fully committed to that relationship with God. And this is something we can all do, whether we're young or old, and whatever our status in terms of wealth or poverty, physical fitness or lack of it. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Prayer is, at its heart, is conversation with God, isn't it? You know, just as we have conversation with people, we speak and we listen to each other, well, some of the time anyway, and we tend to have more of those conversations with people we like to spend time with. I have childhood recollections of watching on the telly Fiddler on the Roof with Topol in the lead act. I mean, for those of you who don't know it, sorry, but there's a musical version of it, a musical, and he's always just leaning on his hoe or whatever, having a conversation with God. And it's just brilliant. And I always remember my dad making a comment about that. Isn't that what prayer's about? Or something like that. That conversation with God, just chatting to God. And as I said, you know, we have conversations that we like to spend time with people we like to spend time with, who have conversations with. And the logic is the same with God. Prayer is a conversation with God. And the logic says the more we like God, the more we want to spend time with him. Devote yourselves to prayer is the challenge. How much do we love God? Be watchful, be thankful. In his letter to the Romans, Paul spoke of offering your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your spiritual act of worship. Our whole lives are meant to be this relationship with God, this act of worship, ascribing true worth to God. That's what worship is. And being in constant prayer is part of that. Giving to God his worth in the sense of believing and accepting that he is worth spending time with constantly. Being devoted and watchful means we're both in contact with God and looking out to the world, the needs of a troubled world around us. You see, at the start of Jesus' ministry, Mark tells us that Jesus was baptized and was commissioned by the Father, by God himself. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased, were the words. And Jesus then went off into the wilderness to be tempted. And although Mark only gives us very minimal details about all that, nevertheless, it was an essential lead-in to those world-changing 3 years when Jesus walked the earth. You see, Jesus' baptism showed not only that he was fully man and fully human, but that he was identifying himself with us, the human race. He was not staying aloof from us. The baptism of John expressed repentance and showed a desire for being cleansed and being put right before God. The ensuing temptation of Jesus in the wilderness showed that he was human, that he could be tempted. The fact he didn't succumb is another issue, but he was tempted. The other Gospels go into more detail about the exact nature of that temptation in the wilderness, a time of testing and doubt as to who and what his mission was. Time of proving that he was fully committed to that which his heavenly Father had sent him. Now, thankfully, Jesus was not diverted from his mission because it led to the coming of the kingdom of God, which is good news. Why is it good news? Because as it's God's kingdom, it's where God rules, where his ways happen. And therefore, where there is no more pain, no more injustice, and so on. And Jesus showed in word and deed when he taught and demonstrated it with those signs and wonders. Do we want to be part of that kingdom? As Mark records Jesus' words, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. There isn't a lot required of us in that. Just repent and believe. It's very simple. Be willing to turn round and acknowledge we've got things wrong by going off in our own strength, in our own directions. But acknowledge we got it wrong and we need him and believe. We believe him. We believe he died for us. It's simple, but actually, it's very hard because we have to swallow pride, self-sufficiency, and so on. But once we do and we enter the kingdom of God, we're guaranteed a far better place long term. Yes, there'll still be the stuff, injustice and sickness happening, but Jesus wants us to be part of that kingdom with him. There's a promise of something far better when all that goes. His coming to earth shows God wants to be with us and also to have us with him. How about you? How about me? Do I want to be with him or not? We're called to walk with him, and what better than to be in constant touch with him, learning from his word, but being devoted in prayer. Prayer that not only keeps us close to him, but that also will basically plead for others to know Christ and affects our words and actions so that we'll be open to passing on the good news that Jesus brought. Paul exhorted his readers to be devoted in prayer, being watchful and thankful. And Paul asked the Colossians to pray for him and his colleagues that they would proclaim the mystery of Christ, for opportunities for himself to do so, even though he was in prison. And the challenge for his readers, and so for us as well, is to be wise in the way we act toward the outsider, to make the most of every opportunity. And we're challenged to let our conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how to answer everyone. How can we best do that? By being alert to what God is doing, and we can only be alert if we're constantly in touch with him in prayer. Now, being devoted, being in constant prayer, doesn't mean always being on your knees with your eyes shut, but it does have a mindset that is seeking out God's will as we face everything. as we go about our daily business. Now, I don't want to, at this point, I don't want to give the impression that I personally have this prayer thing sussed. It's a challenge, isn't it? I don't know how about you, but quite often if you say we're having a church prayer meeting, it's not exactly met with boundless enthusiasm, is it? It's sad. It should be a time of great expectation and excitement. I'm not saying that I react with fantastic enthusiasm myself all the time either. But actually, when you think of what we're trying to do, when we say, let's have a prayer meeting together, yes, let's come and talk to the Father together. And as one of my friends from the past would say, well, I've picked it, you know, pound the throne of grace or something, or bang on heaven's door. Enter into God's presence in that way, pleading with him or just worshipping him and praising him. It is difficult prayer, but it is something we all need to be doing. So I'm speaking as much to myself as to anyone else here. Be devoted, be fully committed in praying. And as we heard the reading, I was just reminded of Nehemiah. So I'm just going to read something from Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was one of the Jewish exiles from when Israel had been taken into exile by the Babylonians, and then the Persians took over. And Nehemiah was, we're told, was a cupbearer to the king. And he's sort of away from his home country, and there's hardly anyone there. But some people came from Judah. And he said, Nehemiah says this, I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province, are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. Its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Days of fasting, mourning, and praying. And then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. And he goes on in his prayer to talk to God, reminding God of the great things God has done for his people, but also acknowledging, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself, includes himself here, and my father's house have committed against you. We've acted wickedly towards you. We've not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instructions you gave Moses, saying, if you're unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. And he goes on like that. If you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the furthest horizon, I'll gather them from there and bring them to the place I've chosen as a dwelling for my name. He's reminding God of the promises God's made. But in that he's acknowledged the human error that happened, the Israelites' rebellion and all the rest of it that has caused them to be in the situation they're in. And although probably Nehemiah was a fairly good and godly man himself, he includes himself amongst the sinners. I confess the sins, including mine, he said. We need to ally ourselves with whoever's around us, being devoted in prayer to come before God. And then Nehemiah said, I was cupbearer to the king, and then had to pluck up strength to go and approach the king to ask for a favour, a big favour, to be able to go to Jerusalem and help sort things out. A passion in prayer. Real passion, fasting, mourning in prayer. We need a heart's desire. And if you struggle a lot to pray at all, then you need to ask God to help you with it, to give you that desire. You see, I don't know about you, but it strikes me that our world, our society, our nation is in a mess with its priorities. It tries to find any and every answer to a problem so long as you don't have to involve God in that answer. That's what it strikes me. And even if someone isn't particularly living a messed up life around you that you know, that you like, or whatever, where do they stand in terms of eternity with God? It's something you and I are made for. The philosopher, Solomon, if it was Solomon, who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, God has put eternity in the heart of man, but man has not understood it. You and I are made for eternity. Do we have hearts of compassion for the lost? That was something on the heart of Jesus. I've come to seek and save the lost. You know, I've come to the lost sheep. When he saw the crowds, we're told, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like shepherd without a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And in being devoted, we need to be watchful, watching what God is doing to see where he is leading, where he is at work, and so responding to that. But also watching the world around us so we can be open to the opportunities that Paul asked us to pray for, to see the harvest field that Jesus spoke of. Paul wanted the Colossians to make the most of every opportunity, and his intent was to make Christ known. Sometimes we won't understand what's going on, but in faith and trust we wait on the Lord. The minor prophet from the Old Testament, Habakkuk, he had questions for God. For him, so many things had gone wrong. God's people were under threat, and so what were all these promises of prosperity and goodness about that the prophets had shared, or the covenants with God and so on? Well, Habakkuk offered his prayer of complaint. "I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what God will say to me and what answer I am to give to this complaint." How was God going to respond? Habakkuk accepted it in faith, though. He didn't get the answer he expected, or it's certainly an unexpected one. But the challenge for all of us is to be alert, to stay awake, to be watchful to both the good stuff and the bad stuff going on. You know, Jesus was out in the desert being tempted, and we're told that the Spirit led him there. We like to think that God only allows good things to happen all the time. And there's always that wrestling with that. It was the Spirit who sent Jesus into the desert to be tempted. It was part of the spiritual battle that's going on over this world. We're all in a spiritual battle, and the evil one loves to stir up and cause division and to discourage. Be alert, be watchful in your praying. And be thankful. You know, even when we don't understand why some things are happening, we're asked or challenged to be thankful. And as we've just seen, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. But good came out of it. And when it seems funny, things going wrong, if we trust God, we can learn through it. He may be leading us to hone us for his purpose. Remember, all things work together for good for those who love God, from Romans 8. When we're tempted to moan at the government, which I find myself doing more and more, do I pray for them? That's a challenge, isn't it? Rather than just moaning, pray for them. At our church leaders, pray for them. Pray into all these situations and many more. You see, the more thankful we are, the less reasons there are to grumble. The more thankful we are to God. Now, probably many of you here are already very prayerful, which is great, but we can always pray more. And for those who struggle, who don't feel that way, feel unsure, it is just that conversation with our Heavenly Father. He longs to hear from you. This is a challenge to each of us as individuals and as a church to come together in prayer. That devotion and watchfulness is what the world needs and will open the doors of opportunity to allow God to touch the hearts of many. God wants his people with him in this task. We're all on a journey through this life, and as that little old evangelistic booklet put it, a journey into life, eternal life with our Heavenly Father. This life is preparation for that. Let's be constantly in tune in prayer in that ongoing relationship with the Father. And let's look forward to this journey together as together we seek God's face as a parish, his leading as a parish, and as the two individual churches, because we still will have obviously our distinct ministries, that we may all bring glory and honour to him. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for the times we can't be bothered to pray, or we just forget who it is we're really praying to or talking with. We take it for granted or push it to one side. Please stir in us a desire to be in constant prayer with you and to pray for the nation, to pray for our neighbourhoods, pray for our friends and family who don't yet know you. May we allow you to set the agenda, and may we come together expectant in prayer that you will honour those who come to you, that where they are gathered in your name, there you are in their midst. May we come with expectant hearts to see you, to meet with you, and to see you at work. May all these things work out in meeting the needs of those around us, the spiritual needs and the material needs. And we ask this in the name of our Lord, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.